Welcome to Bucks Insider Live. Casey Phillips here with senior writer and editor Scott Smith, and we are here to bring you all the Buccaneers news that you need and our new tradition, a Bucks trivia question.
Yeah, I love it.
I like this one. I think this is fun. I did not know it, but I think it's very fun. So why don't we start out, and again, if you have an answer for it, leave it underneath our live Facebook video. We'll see if we can read out some of the people that get the right answer
I'm
later
confident
on.
Confident somebody will get it right.
Okay, all right, let's hear it.
All right, our question this week is, and I'm doing this because we just signed a whole bunch of undrafted players like you do after the draft. And the question is, who is the only undrafted player ever to make the Pro Bowl as a rookie for the Buccaneers? So to be clear, some undrafted guys like Shelton Quarles and Donald Penn have eventually made the Pro Bowl, but I'm saying they sign as an undrafted rookie and they make the Pro Bowl that year. It's only been done once.
And you just helped by giving a couple clues of who it's not. So
right,
you just helped
either
everybody.
Of those two.
Neither of those people. So all right. So again, if you have the answer to that, leave it underneath our Facebook Live video stream here. So right now, let's dive into, because as you pointed out, we've signed a lot of new people, and you have the rookies. You've got even some other free agents they've brought in. So recently, we put up the idea of the numbers of how many at each position we have on the team. That has changed since the last time we did it. So we thought we'd give an updated look at those numbers, how many guys we have at each position, and what that means the team might still need to add.
Yeah, we updated it because they did the draft and they did the undrafted free agents. And so the roster is now at 90 players. It can still change. Obviously, you could release somebody and sign somebody else, but it's at 90, which is the limit, which is what you take to training camp. And you look there, teams, particular coaching staffs and personnel staffs, tend to try to hit the same numbers closely each year. So if you look at what the Bucks took to training camp at each position last year compared to what they have now, you'll see some areas where there probably will be some tweaking. Like, I think they're going to need a few more receivers. You tend to like to have a lot of receivers because it's tiring. They run their routes are a lot of running, right, as opposed to, say, like a defensive lineman or something. So you want to have a lot of them on hand for training camp. So I would think you'd see a couple more of those. But it's maybe one more quarterback. Seems to be running a little heavy at the linebacker position right now. 10 outside linebackers. And I think that's a matter of just that's a hard position to fill. And if you find any talent there, like they just signed after the tryouts, after the rookie minicamp, there were four guys signed that had participated on tryout contracts, and one of them was a rookie outside linebacker named Marquise Watts. So I think some of these positions right now, they have just signed players because they're good and they have a shot, but I would imagine that some of those numbers will be tweaked a little bit.
What are some of the other factors you think in terms of why we would have certain numbers at certain positions? That why might it be a little different this year versus last year? Some of the motivations behind some of those different numbers?
Well, we're now in sort of the, I guess, the third phase of the offseason and your roster building. You have the really quick rush of free agency and a few signings here or there in April, and then you have the draft. And after the draft, and after you find some undrafted free agents, and remember, you don't necessarily get every one of those that you want. All the teams are calling around trying to land the guys that they want. And so you may not get exactly what you want. And this is when you look at your roster now and go, okay, good. We did a good job of getting enough receivers, but we have to find a few more running backs or something like that. And that could involve veteran free agents that are out there. And sometimes teams, first of all, teams waited until after the draft. I don't remember which exact May date, but it was some date in May. After that, if you sign a free agent, it no longer counts in the compensatory formula. So a guy that, if an unrestricted free agent, that if you'd signed him in March or April, he would count against you in that formula. Now he doesn't. And then after June 1, you have the thing where you can spread out the salary cap hit. So, you know, this is the time to reevaluate your roster and say, man, I don't feel good about our cornerback situation. We really need another veteran cornerback, and there's guys out there at every position, obviously not superstars at this point, but there's still some pretty well-known free agents that are out there on the market.
Okay. Also, I realized that we read the trivia question so quick off the top, there's probably some people that have joined in watching a little bit later, so I figured
read
you
it
could
again?
Read it one more time,
okay,
just to give people a shot, and then we'll keep
well going. In honor of us just having signed a bunch of undrafted free agents, the question is, who is the only undrafted player ever to make the Pro Bowl as a rookie for the Buccaneers? So signed that year as an undrafted free agent, played for the Bucs, made the Pro Bowl that year.
Okay, I like it. And in terms of the drafted guys on our team, I know that every year there's always typically somebody, maybe, you know, the later rounds that can end up making an impact on the team, and you know that there's the guys that you kind of know or maybe getting drafted early on to start, but then there's always guys that maybe that fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're always like, man, look at that, that this guy stuck around. I think about an Anthony Nelson who's, had some big impact, kind of that mid-round guy.
Right.
What do you feel like is a guy this year that, that has a chance to do something like that?
Well, actually, I kind of feel pretty good about all of our sixth-round picks because there seems to be obvious roles for them. Josh Hayes has a shot at being the nickel. Trey Palmer is that burner who can be sort of, I guess, the next Scotty Miller who can take the, he could probably do more than just that, but he can take the top off the defense. But the guy I would focus on is Jose Ramirez, which was the last of those three. And that was a very well-received, if you read draft grades and stuff, people think the Bucks got a little bit of a steal there. Very, very productive. And after the draft on that night, John Spytek, he said, I'm not saying he's Shaq Barrett, but he sort of compared him to Shaq Barrett because of their style of play, how they just work really hard, and they may not be the absolute biggest or the absolute fastest guys, which is why Shaq Barrett went undrafted out of Colorado State, and Jose Ramirez lasted until the sixth round. But both of them are really, really productive players, and actually, it was kind of funny because John Spytek was making that comparison basically because of sort of the sort of players that they were. But if you look at their last year in college and how they peaked, it's nearly identical. I mean, look at this. Shaq is on the left and Jose Ramirez is on the right. Look at those numbers. They're practically identical. They both had 12 sacks, 19 or 19 and a half tackles for loss, and they both were their conference's defensive player of the year that year. So they really peaked at the right time. Shaq arrived, he signed with Denver as an undrafted free agent, kind of had to wait a little bit, but then became a rotational player and did well when he got playing time. But then he got a chance to start here in Tampa, and we all see what happens. So hopefully, if you get anything like the sort of production that you got out of Shaq from Jose Ramirez, then you've really nailed that sixth round pick.
Yeah, and I know that we talked about in the numbers that wide receiver was a position we had seen lately of, the odds are they're going to be adding some more of those, that they, we were low on that going into camp. And so they have made one of those additions. They've signed wide receiver David Moore. Tell us a little bit about this guy and what are the odds that he's going to be a contributor?
Yeah, the funny thing about that one was he tried out, he participated in the rookie camp on a trial contract, but he's not anything like a rookie. And you can do that. You know, there's no rules against that, but it kind of, it's not that common. And after the draft, after the weekend minicamp, the Buccaneers signed him. He was a seventh round draft pick of the Seahawks in 2017. But as you can see, I'm not saying these are blow the doors off numbers, right? But this is 3 years in a row of being a relatively productive player, like a third or fourth receiver. You can see from his averages in his first, in the 18 and 19 and the long receptions he had each year that he can get deep. He can make some big plays for you. That's a lot of touchdowns, honestly, for the amount of playing time. 13 touchdowns.
Wow.
That's a lot. So, I mean, this is a guy that's shown he can play in this league and you know, just kind of uncovered that and gave you a little bit of depth there and some more competition for maybe like the fifth or sixth spot on the receiving corps.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, we know Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage. We know who those guys are to an extent, what they bring to it. So what are the other things that you feel like, what are the, maybe the gaps or holes that the other, you know, people, whether however many you end up with, are going to be trying to fill? Is it going to be the special teams ability? And then how much is it going to be the wide receiver ability?
It's a great point on your part. Those guys that are like the fourth, fifth, and sixth guys, usually you really want them to also have a special teams role. And if they don't, they have a hard time being active on game day. They may be your sixth receiver, but you only keep five active. So I'm sure all of these guys know this. I know Trey Palmer has talked about playing on special teams as an example. But you also want a little, I know you think, okay, you got Mike Evans who does this and Godwin who does this and Russell Gage who does this. What else do we need? But you also need a little bit of redundancy. You know what I'm saying? So because like Breshad Perriman didn't necessarily do anything in his last few years with the Bucks that Mike Evans or Godwin didn't do, but there are times when somebody's hurt or just unavailable.
Or just needs a breather or something.
So it's nice to have a little bit of redundancy. You can't find a second exact Mike Evans, but if you can find a guy that can fill the same role, you know, Mike runs a deep route and then has to come off the field for a couple snaps and this guy goes in and can do the same thing.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. And I'm just intrigued to see how having a new offensive coordinator changes the types of guys that make those last positions, how they're wanting to use some different people. I think, you know, who really excels in a new scheme.
Well, they may want somebody who can really do well in the slot because I think the goal is to get Chris Godwin out of the slot for more. Like, I don't think they want to use him as much in the slot as they have because you get beat up a lot in the slot. And you know Chris, he's such a willing blocker.
Yeah, he'll take it.
Right, he'll take the hits and he'll deliver the hits. And so if he plays more snaps on the outside, they think he'll be able to play more snaps, period.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Because he's missed some time in the last couple of years, and he's so valuable to the offense. It's not saying he won't play in the slot, but I think he's not going to be in there as much. So to have other guys that can do that would be helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us on this. We have to give our answer to the trivia question before we go. Tell us our...
Did anybody get it?
Nobody has gotten it. I know. It's so crazy. But tell
especially
me.
Because it's a Smith.
Oh.
It's Clifton Smith is the answer. So do you want me to tell you the story?
Yes, tell the story.
Okay, so in 2008, the Buccaneers used a second-round pick on Appalachian State wide receiver Dexter Jackson, not the Super Bowl MVP Dexter Jackson, but a different one,
too.
Thinking he would be the return man. It didn't really work out, and sometime about October, the Bucs were like, well, this isn't working out. So they brought up Clifton Smith, who they'd signed as an undrafted free agent out of San Diego, and I mean, small guy. That's mm-hmm. why he was undrafted. He was a very productive running back in college, but he was really small. And he was amazing. Like, he immediately returned a kickoff for a touchdown. He returned a punt for a touchdown. I don't remember the exact averages, but he averaged like 30 yards per kickoff return or something.
Wow.
And he made the Pro Bowl as a rookie. And that's the only time that's ever happened for the Bucs with an undrafted guy.
That's amazing. I love that. All right, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Bucs Insider Live. We will see you next time. And thanks again for watching.